In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. I spent about 5 years, the seasons of 2005 through 2009, working at Spoutwood Farm Center, a community-supported agriculture and educational farm in Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. In a community-supported model of agriculture, or CSA for short, members buy shares in the project at or before the beginning of the season. In return, they receive a share of the produce for however long that season lasts, typically running between 15 to 24 weeks, depending on the CSA. As shareholders, members become part of a farm community, sharing in the bounty when the farm is producing well, but also accepting a share of the burden when drought, disease, attacks by insects or other pests, and so on, have a more negative effect on the crops. There are CSAs for about every type of farm produce imaginable, from meat to dairy and eggs to flowers. But the most common ones are produce CNAs, vegetables, and perhaps some fruits. And that's what Spoutwood was, although it also provided herbs and a bouquet of flowers each week. In most CSAs, there is a work component. Part of being a shareholder means that you're expected to put in some dirt time, also known as sweat equity, usually in the neighborhood of 10 hours plus or minus over the course of a whole season, so it's not an onerous obligation. Some people do pay an additional fee to be relieved even of that, but many consider the time they spend with their hands in the soil, actually physically and tangibly participating in growing the food that they will be receiving, to be one of the most meaningful and enjoyable parts of the community-supported agriculture experience. I started at Spoutwood in 2005 as a working shareholder. That is to say, in lieu of paying for my share in money, I paid the whole thing in sweat equity, 75 hours of dirt time over the course of the season. For the next 2 years, 2006 and 2007, I was a senior apprentice, being paid a small stipend plus a share of the produce in exchange for helping to lead and oversee the CSA. My last 2 years there, 2008 to 2009, I was both education and also work and learn coordinator at the farm, with even more of a supervisory role, but I still put in a lot of dirt time. Furthermore, Spoutwood was organic in practice, although not certified as such because of the financial costs and administrative burden of actually obtaining and maintaining organic certification. That in turn meant that, with the exception of a few naturally derived examples, we did not have the ability to respond to invasions of insects or weeds, both of which are an inevitable part of farming, with applications of chemical pesticides or herbicides. I personally am in favor of as much of a natural approach as possible, but I had to say, after spending an entire morning bending over and picking potato bugs off of the plants, I had a little more comprehension for why, back in the post-World War II years, the farmer who saw this city slicker driving down his dirt drive in a nice car and getting out in his suit and saying, "I have some chemicals I can give you that'll make it so you never have to weed or pick potato bugs again," why he might have said yes. It's interesting how that perspective changes depending on what you're doing. At any rate, I bring all this up because, given that background, today's gospel lesson, the parable of the weeds and the of the wheat and the tares, resonates strongly with me. I've spent ample time sweating in the hot sun as I work the stirrup hose down the rows and around the plants, or kneeling in the dirt as I endeavor to distinguish between the tender, succulent, emerging shoots of food plants and the seemingly innocuous but excessively prolific shoots of weeds that sprout in profusion wherever soil is disturbed. And when they are in their youngest stages, it's amazing how much they look like each other. I have to chuckle whenever I read regarding the tares that, quote, an enemy has done this. Now, I don't know what it's like in the Middle East, but here at least, you don't need an enemy to sow weed seeds among your crop plants. All you need to do is till the soil and the myriad of weeds will spring up entirely on their own. And it can at times, as I say, be extremely challenging to distinguish between the early forms of both. In our case, we could not afford to wait until harvest time to pull up the weeds. By then, they would have choked out the herbs and vegetables entirely. But we still had to wait. Once they had gotten a bit of growth, we could then easily tell the difference between, for example, weeds like amaranth or lamb's quarters, both of which are, interestingly enough, are edible, but are classed as weeds because they spring up where we didn't plant them first, and vegetables like Swiss chard or bush beans, and liberate the food plants by eradicating the weeds. If we were not sure what we were pulling, it was a simple matter to wait a few days until the differences between the plants you wanted and the plants you did not were more clearly visible. This, our scriptures tell us, is also how God works. He practices patience and exercises forbearance. More often than not, he lets things play out, giving our human will a chance to work. A plant which, at the time it emerges, looks like a good food plant might easily, as it matures, be seen to be instead a noxious weed. Conversely, a plant which one might mistake at its earliest stages for a weed might instead reveal itself to be a tasty vegetable. Similarly, and sadly, a person whose life seems to be starting off well might end up going wrong through the choices that they make, while someone whose early life is plagued by sin and poor choices might very well turn around later in life. In his graciousness and wisdom, God knows all these things, and so he practices, as I say, patience and forbearance, letting the wheat grow up together with the tares, that the difference may be clearly seen. On a related note, I mentioned earlier that our gospel lesson includes the observation with regard to the tares that an enemy has done this. The reference, obviously, is to the great enemy, to Satan, who sows the tares of discord, hatred, temptation, and all the deadly sins among us, infecting God's wheat field with weeds. But the reality is that those seeds have already been sown long since, just as weed seeds lurked within the soil at Spoutwood, only to be liberated when the soil was turned. In the same way, the seeds of sin and death, of chaos and confusion, lie within us, lurking, waiting to sprout and grow when the soil of our lives is turned by events and circumstances and our reactions to them. Temptations, setbacks, disappointments, even celebrations if they lead to excess, can be the broken soil those seeds of sin need to begin to shoot up, with the danger of strangling or crowding out the good seed of a holy and virtuous life. Just as an organic garden exists in a delicate balance, with lurking weeds ready to take over if that balance is disrupted, so too are our own lives. Fortunately, however, we have a gardener, and a sympathetic and sensitive one too, since he himself has lived and died as one of us, becoming as we are that we might, by grace, become as he is. Or as St. Paul says in his letter to the Hebrews, we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And unlike a garden, we have a voice. We have also faculties of sense, perception, and judgment, however obscured they may be at times by the weeds of sin. If we ask in humble repentance, our Lord Jesus Christ will lovingly weed the garden of our lives, bundling our sins to one side to be burned, but gathering that which is fruitful into his storehouse. I am reminded once again of my time at Spoutwood, how we piled the weeds and carried them away to be composted, but carefully and lovingly gathered the produce to be sorted and laid out for our shareholders, enjoyment and nourishment. In the same way, that very Christ who died for us, whose crucifixion overcame the tyranny of sin and death, opening to us the kingdom of heaven, is also more than able to distinguish between the wheat and the tares in our own lives, nurturing the former, but carrying the latter away to be burned. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to whom be glory and honor, majesty and power, now and forever. Amen.